The reading today is Ezekiel 37. It's on page 868 or there. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them. The skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle in you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of God.
Good evening, everybody. So, this evening, the title of our theme is Experiencing the Strength of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Will started off our series on the Holy Spirit, talking about be filled with the Spirit. He reminded us that the Holy Spirit is someone, not something. He's not someone new and different, but he's God himself at work amongst us, one of the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that we need to keep on being filled with the Spirit, present continuous tense, as he told us last week. We need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. I wonder if you've ever experienced the strength of the Holy Spirit in your life. Take a minute to think about that. What did that look like? What did that feel like? Probably slightly different for each one of us, because God knows each one of us and as an individual, and he created us all differently. Why don't we take, I think we'll take just a couple of minutes to talk to somebody near you about that. Can you think of a time when you felt the strength of the Holy Spirit? If you haven't ever experienced that, just say to them, "Oh, no, I've never experienced that." If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then just tell them, "I've got no idea what she's talking about." Or if you prefer to just sit by yourself quietly, that's fine. But let's just take a couple of minutes, talk to the person next to you. Have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit giving you strength in your life? Yes. Right. Hopefully you had time to share a little bit about that. If you're halfway through your story, don't worry. You can carry on chatting to each other afterwards because we've even got refreshments at the end. So the passage which Ben read for us is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet, and we can learn lots of things about the Holy Spirit from this passage. I'm just going to focus on a few things this evening, and we're going to look at some other Bible verses as well, which speak about the strength which comes from the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel, the prophet, certainly needed strength from the Holy Spirit. He was a priest taken captive to Babylon with most of the people of Israel. He was speaking the word of God into a very hostile environment. The name Ezekiel actually means God strengthens. And the Holy Spirit who strengthens allows his prophet Ezekiel in that hostile environment to see things from God's perspective. The people of Israel have given up hope. Is God still there? Is God still listening to them? They've given up hope. But Ezekiel, towards the end of his book, speaks a message of hope, that God is still at work and that he will restore Israel. What was dead can come back to life and be used by God. So you might be thinking, what is all this about dry bones in a valley? What is this talking about? The Valley of Bones represents a battlefield that's been turned into a graveyard containing a decimated army. And this represents the nation of Israel. It looks like a situation that is beyond hope and beyond change, dry bones. God asks Ezekiel a very challenging question. Can these bones live? Every rule of common sense and logic has to say, no, of course they can't. They're dead, they're dry. But Ezekiel knew enough about God to recognize that God can do the impossible. He didn't, though, have quite enough faith to say, yes, they definitely can live. But what he does say is, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And God tells Ezekiel to do two things by which God's Spirit will restore a dead, despondent people into a living, confident, active army filled with the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. First, Ezekiel is to declare the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He declares the prophetic word of what God is going to do. And then the bones come together and have flesh and they have skin, which is kind of a weird picture to think about, but they have no life still. Second, Ezekiel needs to prophesy to the breath. And as the breath enters the army, they come to life and stand on their feet. What was dead has come alive again. Throughout Scripture, the activity of the Holy Spirit is always linked closely with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is God himself, so he will always operate according to God's word. As we see right from the beginning in Genesis, the word is the verbal expression of the mind and the character of the invisible God. God spoke and the world came into being. Just as our breath is expressive of our life and we use it to articulate the thoughts of our minds to other people, so the Spirit, our breath of God, shows us what God's life is like, and it's the expression of his mind and his will. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. And in this passage, that same Hebrew word, ruach, is translated into three different English words. It's translated as spirit, breath, and wind. Gives different aspects of the same presence and life-giving work of God. The answer to the deadness which we lay in front of Ezekiel and which we encounter in our own lives was a new experience of the life-giving presence of God. And that is always the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he comes as a roaring gale, and sometimes as a gentle whisper. But without him, there can be no spiritual life or movement. So we need the Word and the Spirit together, proclaiming God's Word and crying out for the life and power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and to bring life where there is no life. That can be in situations in our own lives, in our church, in our nation. So how do we experience that strengthening of the Holy Spirit? We're going to have a short look at what the New Testament has got to say. In the book of John, Jesus tells the disciples, it's good that he returns to the Father because the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be with them. He says the Father will send the Counselor. The word used for counselor can't be defined as one word in English. We have to use several different words to fully get the idea of what the word is trying to say to us. Counselor, who guides and directs and speaks God's truth to us. The Comforter, who reminds us of God's presence and strengthens us. The Advocate and Intercessor, who stands up for us and acts on our behalf and prays for us. The Strengthener. If we're going to serve God and do the things that he's asking us to do, then we need constant strength. We can try to do life on our own, in our own strength, or we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and experience his strength, relying on him to enable us to do everything we need to do, things that we just can't do in our own strength. Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem and they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. This power was going to strengthen and enable them to do what Jesus was calling them to do, which was to be his witnesses to the ends of the world. Again, like in Ezekiel, people transformed by the breath of the Spirit in them. We too need to ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen and equip us if we're going to do the things which God is calling us to do and witness to him through the words that we say and through the way that we live our lives. How does he strengthen us? In so many different ways. The book of Acts speaks about the Holy Spirit giving the disciples boldness, giving them the words they needed in difficult situations, bringing unity, enabling the church to live like the people of God, bringing freedom, peace in scary and dangerous situations, doing miraculous signs and wonders, and leading and guiding. And that is only scratching the surface of the book of Acts. Jesus himself ministered in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the desert to be tested. And after that, Luke tells us that he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus, who was God, because he became fully human, knew that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen him to do God's kingdom work. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then how much more do we? This strengthening is for our everyday lives. And Thelma and Emily are going to come up now and share a couple of stories about a time when they experienced the strength of the Holy Spirit. They weren't expecting to have to come quite so high up onto the stage, but... Thelma.
Thank you. I'm not a brave person, and I don't naturally like doing dangerous things. So it was a surprise when I felt called into prison ministry and found myself going into prison on a regular basis for prison fellowship, a Christian ministry to offenders and their families. If you've ever been into prison, you'll know that hearing the prison doors close behind you is quite scary, and it reminds you that you're in an environment that you have not got any control over. We had no keys, and we are dependent on other people to open the doors and close them. And it's a very different environment to the world outside. It has its own regime and daily pattern. And in those circumstances, it was so good to know that we had the Holy Spirit to calm our fears, enable us to be bold, and give us the right words to say. We went into prison to deliver the Sycamore Tree program. It was based on the story of Zacchaeus. The 6 sessions aimed to challenge offending behavior and the reasons why offenders are in prison, change their attitudes, and stop the cycle of crime, as well as share the good news of Jesus without proselytizing. As you can see, this is no easy task all within 6 weeks. So we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we talk to offenders we meet. Session 3 is one of the most challenging sessions, as this is when we invite a victim to tell their story about the impact of crime on them. It is often the first time that an offender has heard about the impact of crime on another person face to face. Then we talk about their need for forgiveness and being forgiven. At the end of session 3, a young man in my group was obviously very angry. His face and language showed that he was only just keeping it together. The session on forgiveness had brought a lot of things to the surface in his life, and he was angry because he felt he had been victimized and he wanted revenge. He said that forgiveness and the course was rubbish and he wouldn't be coming next week. As you can imagine, I was frantically thinking, what do I say? And I searched for something meaningful to say, but then I heard myself say, I will pray for you. He held my gaze for what seemed to be a lifetime, but was probably about only 20 seconds. And for a moment, I felt that his anger would boil over into violence. And I found myself repeating, I will pray for you. And at last, he nodded and left the group and went back to his wing. I know that at that moment, when I didn't know what to say, the Holy Spirit stepped in and gave me the words to say. He helped me face the anger and bring comfort to that young man. We prayed for him and for the rest of the group on a daily basis between sessions. And the following week, I looked for him at the start of the session. He was there. Not only was he there, but he wasn't angry. His whole face and body language completely changed. He was smiling, and he was greeting the volunteers. He completed the course. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, prison ministry would not see lives changed in that way. So I thank God for it.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you. When Jackie emailed me to say, would you share some examples of a time when the Holy Spirit has strengthened you, I initially thought, I can't think of anything. And then I spent a bit of time, I used it as a bit of a distraction and procrastination from work. And I came up with a really long list, which was quite exciting. And I actually, you'll probably say this, Jackie, but I encourage you all to take a bit of time to think about this, because I had quite an exciting list by the end, but I've chosen just two. So the first example is about 12 years ago. I'm going to paint you a picture. I'm 19 years old. I've been working 3 jobs around the clock, saving up as much money as possible to go traveling with a friend. And we've bought tickets to go interrailing, which is when you essentially get a train throughout Europe, jumping on and off as you please. Very excited, been looking forward to this for ages. A few days in, my friend Jay gets pretty ill, and I'm thinking, how ill is she? I don't know, is she just sort of complaining? We've saved up a lot of money to be here. We've got 3 weeks, let's make the most of it. Anyway, she gets worse and worse, and actually, we end up having this horrible day where she's sick and I'm carrying her bags to and fro and I'm basically carrying her and have to get her to this hostel and try and find a doctor in the middle of Switzerland, and it's just not what I planned at all. And I'm sitting in this grotty hostel in a bunk bed, just resenting my friend and feeling bad for that and feeling guilty. And I just had this moment of asking God, like, what's going on? Like, I'm super privileged to be here, and this is wonderful, but look at the beautiful mountains outside that I'm not enjoying. And I remember this simple prayer. I said, God, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to feel this sad. And from nowhere, I got this, like, explosion of joy through me. And I'm genuinely in fits of giggles, but stifling my giggles, because Jeanette is in the bunk below me, feeling very sorry for herself. So I just almost had this secret moment with God of this wonderful joy. And yeah, I mean, it's very simple, but even 12 years later, when I'm feeling down or, yeah, sad, or I think this isn't how life's supposed to be, I get this amazing strengthening feeling of, yeah, but God's with you and there is joy in every moment. And then my other example is just this week, I had a job interview, which for anyone that's had an interview, you know that you feel nervous and you're trying to rack your brains for everything you know. How can you prove who you are? Prove that you know everything. And I decided that I would take a walk before the interview to try and clear my head and focus. And I thought the good and holy thing to do would be to listen to the Bible. And I'll be honest, I resentfully started listening to the Bible because I wanted a bit more time to prepare. I thought, I need to prove what I know. I'm excited about this job. Anyway, start listening to the Bible, walking along, and I'm still quite distracted. I'm going through, you know, all the classic examples. Show a time where you've proved that you can deal with conflict. Show a time you feel you've dealt with stress. Anyway, I had this moment of, God, sorry, I'm supposed to be focusing on you. This is time to spend with you. This is how I should be preparing for the interview. And in that moment, in the commentary of listening to the Bible in 1 Year app, this just clarity cut through. And then it said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it just literally stopped me in my tracks. And I'd had this moment again, I had to pause the app and be like, of course. Like, it doesn't matter what really happens in this interview. It doesn't matter if I don't prove myself. What really matters is my relationship with God. Nerves disappeared, and yeah, I had a brilliant time. I felt strengthened, and I actually ended up really enjoying my interview.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. That's great. Let's give them a clap, shall we? So I'm not going to say a lot more, because I think talking to each other about ways that we've seen the Holy Spirit at work in our lives is also very powerful. One thing I have noticed, so Selma talked about God giving her the words, just the right words, that discernment to know the right thing to say in that situation. And Emily talked about the joy that the Holy Spirit can sometimes give us, and how he can encourage us and speak to us in our everyday lives. But one thing that I have noticed as well is that quite often when the Holy Spirit strengthens us, it doesn't always mean that we feel strong. Sometimes we do. We want to feel strong and not afraid. But when God strengthens us, sometimes it means that we can do things which God is calling us to do, even when we don't feel very strong. And we might feel quite weak or quite fearful. So through the process of being called to ordination and all the training and the new things that I've had to step out into, I've often felt very weak. I felt the Lord saying that he would strengthen me and equip me. If God calls us to do something, then he equips us to do it. One day I was talking to God and I was saying, Lord, I thank you that you are strengthening me. I know that you are, but I don't feel strong. I'd really like to feel strong and confident and just get up there and do what you're telling me to do. And I felt like the Lord said to me, Jackie, why do you expect to feel strong? When you are weak, then you are strong because you're leaning on me. So sometimes we do feel supernatural boldness or peace or joy and different things like that. But sometimes he just strengthens us in our weakness to take the next step or just to keep on going. Paul in Ephesians prays that God, out of his glorious riches, will strengthen the Ephesians with power through his Spirit in their inner beings. This is not just a little bit of strength. This is power from God's glorious riches. And this Spirit who lives in us is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Do we invite the Holy Spirit to come and strengthen us in our inner being? When we're in those difficult situations, do we take the time to turn to God, to ask him to come? And do we pray that for each other too, like Paul was praying for the Ephesians? Maybe this week we can start off each day by asking God to come and strengthen us for whatever it is that he's wanting to do, wanting us to do that day. We're going to take some time now just to wait on God. We're going to ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit and to strengthen us where we need his strength. So let's just wait. Like last week, if you want to put your hands out, it's just a sign of openness to receive whatever it is that God wants to do in us. Maybe there are particular circumstances or situations where you really need the Spirit's strength at the moment. Let's ask God to come and strengthen us for those situations. Maybe God is calling you to do something for him and for his kingdom work, and you are aware that you really need his strength for that. Lord, thank you that when you call us, you equip us. And we pray that you'll fill us with your strength today. And let's hand over the circumstances where we're trying to do life in our own strength, how easy it is to do that, to try to do it in our own strength, with our own talents and abilities. And yet it makes all the difference when we're strengthened by God and we allow him to come and do what he's wanting to do in us and through us. Lord, we recognize our weakness and we lean on you and your mighty strength. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work among us. Andy's going to play the saxophone for a little while for us, and let's just rest in the presence of God and just stay open to what it is that he wants to say to us or do amongst us, and then we'll move on to a time of worship together.